The game board is taken from the Parcheesi game. It's a very old game, created, I guess, in India a long time ago. For us, it has been used in a piece that it was, in fact, a very important part of an installation named Terre di Nessuno, No Man's Land. Mainly in the last version of this installation, which is actually showing it in ZKM, it's a reality which is putting us to different aspects of the web page, pages in with different informations about ecology, about many aspects of our worldwide, including, of course, the world of communication. It's a game of communication. In fact, this Terre di Nessuno game board, when we use the Parcheesi game as a platform, in a way, because for us, Parcheesi game, for us, no, for it's for the rules of the game, is a game very territorial. And we use it in opposite, in a non-territorial way.
To dissolve the borders, territorial borders, and to mix it into one radio space.
Yeah. In the original installation, in fact, is the way is to dissolve it, to dissolve this with different kind of rules, you know, and that you can hear when you are following with the counter the different squares of the game, and you are hearing also things, some instructions, really very, very crazy, amazing ones, going farther to this idea of territoriality. But we have kept some of those ideas of our original installation, sound and visual and with video and so on. And we have kept some of those things, but in this case the idea is giving some homage to Ars Acoustica group in the 20th anniversary of the group, and including sounds, including web relationship with links with web pages of the group, of the free radio networks, or many other things, but also in this idea of a free world of communication.
How is it set up, or what are your roles in the performance? You roll the dice? It's a real dice?
Or I do. Yes, I do, and I play, really. And then I go, when the result of the day, I go to the place that correspond, and then something comes from that. There are different kinds of materials going inside. There are web pages. There are concrete sounds that they have been delivered to us for the different members of the Ars Acoustica group. So we have such a big, enormous amount of material that is really rich when you get to the different places and can hear. Apart from that, there are statements of the different members of the group concerning what is Ars Acoustica for them. So it's a different kinds of response that we have. So that make a rich platform for the, also for in the present, has been in the past, but it's also richness for the future too.
So what are the differences between the aspects of how people consider Ars Acoustica, or, you know, what different approaches to Ars Acoustica did you find when you received these sound samples?
For example, there are a few of them that are sound work with the idea of asking oneself what is Ars Acoustica about. But there are others that are more descriptive, and others that are more poetic in a way. So very different responses.
Yes, for instance, some people say that Ars Acoustica is a collage of sounding ideas which touch the human being's genetic sound memory. Some other more interested in the idea of laboratory, of utopic laboratory for the radio nowadays and of the future. And some other are relating the term Ars Acoustica to its historical roots, to the origins of the term used by, taken by Klaus Schoening as producer in the beginning of the 70s in his studio Akustische Kunst in Köln. And of course, going further, actually, it could be also convenient to define some things outside radio, some kind of poetic of sound, aesthetics of mixing voice and meaning significance and collage of sounds, even soundscapes, used by people in some ways like some experimental theater or performances or sound installations and so on.
And in the files, also we have chosen some small parts of really very significant works that has been produced by the group, you know. And always we say with this file, you know, we will say the author of it. So, you know, it's not only file sound, but people, concrete people, authors, or producers, but we wanted to also to point out that comes from concrete people.
Yeah, there are two laptops, and the laptop used by Concha is using this game board that we explained before, the content and so on. And I'm using another one, which is composed, organized with many other materials, also coming from the things sent by our colleagues, or in other cases, some things coming from our own archives, sound archives. And in this sense, we have revisited some fragments and works that belong to the recent history of radio art, especially devoted to Ars Acoustica, like pieces made by Luc Ferrari or Alvin Carran or Pauline Oliveros or Tom Johnson or some others, you know. But in fragments, so it's a kind of way of revisiting, not only as a document, but as a monument. But in a sense, they have become ready-made objects of functional use, because those pieces have been published in CDs and commercially distributed or not, it depends. But they are when you are using those things in a CD, in a way, it's ready-made. It's something, some object with a functional use, industrially reproduced by different media, including radio. And it means also that you can do some aesthetic reevaluation of those materials. And we are doing those kind of appropriation and reevaluation also in our piece. In the case of Concha, she's playing with a virtual dice, so it's the chance operations are really open to that.
But the contents are 68
squares. In each time, the work could be in another direction.
Completely different.
Yep.
In a way.
Yeah, because it's the mixture also of what he is doing and what I'm doing. You know, it's a mixture.
It could be also an installation.
We could say that opposite to other works of us, there are a lot of improvisation in this performance. That in others, especially the common, we are not so much doing it. An improvisation work is everything is very stuff.
When you work together.
Yeah. In the case of him, when he works, he does more improvisation. In my case, no. I don't improvise. No. It looks like, but I don't improvise at all.
No, but in this case, she's forced to improvise,
of course,
in a way, because she's doing playing a game.
So it will be a surprise for us too.
Can we maybe talk only briefly about other projects that you have been involved with for Kunstradio?
We have been involved with many projects with Kunstradio. The first of it was Argo, that it was 1991. And it was a production between the Museum Modern Kunst and radio for one's event, international event that was called Interferenzen. It's a chance that now, really, we just have the opening just a few days ago in Las Palmas de Gran Canaria of the last step of this project. So it has been running from 1991 till 2009. So there was the first work that we made for Kunstradio, but after that we have been involved in many projects, really.
Okay.
So it was a long road that we have been doing with Kunstradio. Yeah,
in a way it's like a resume of our activities, or different activities, in different fields. The field of the installation, the field of intermediate installation, sound installation, perform or radio performances, or also concerts in a way more formal. also participating in theoretical symposium about radio art or sound art. So I think that our relationship with Kunstradio till now has covered all aspects of our single and common activity as an artist or theoreticians.
One last question I have about Ars Acoustica. Why is it important, this group? Looking back on 20 years, what are the achievements and what has to be done?
There are different things we made together. I think the most interesting was to discuss, to promote things together, to diffuse internationally among different radio stations common things or not common things, also belonging to the world of radio art. And I think in a broader approach than radio drama or concrete music or something more linked to concerts, but in a very open mind way. But in fact, Ars Acoustica has been different moments. First, the true beginning with Klaus Schoening was very connected to some a little bit traditional, very well done things in the studio. Later, opposite in the time of when Heidi Grumman was the coordinator, it was more linked to projects like Horizontal Radio, live projects, but not only live projects, but especially projects involving at the same time different people. So activities in which radio was taking part of the world of telecommunications, also including new networks in the web, and in that time very, very young, very difficult to manage for us. And then after that, and during my presidency of my chairmanship of the group, I think I have tried to collect different people from other places and to go further with these things, with a series of projects named, actually are going on, Ars Verdi Party. Those things, including also the EBU satellite and people coming from different web free radio networks and from many other places in our. But in this case, I think the ideas coming also from Kunstradio and from Elisabeth Zimmermann particularly has been very important.
For me, as artist, not a radio person, but as artist and professor of the university, I think the Ars Acoustica is enormously important because it's after the beginning of the avant-garde, and especially the futurism, there's a different kinds of creations, sound work that it was not in the classical field. It was a special, different thing that was made through the time in the sound poetry and the performances, radio art pieces, and many, many aspects. And I think as Acoustic, as a group, it's very important they exist because it's a meeting point, a public meeting point, in which artists and people really can connect through the network, of their group and be what is going on different fields that you cannot find on the concert hall at all. And I think that is very, very important and should be given more public attention. There should be always the public radios to promote this kind of works.
For me, the key is in the fact that we are doing art. So the state is paying for exhibitions of artists in the public spaces, in the museums, in the squares, and why not for art in a public space like radio?
And it goes to many, many people. Any broadcasting goes to thousands and even sometimes millions of people. So it's very important. Public responsibility, I think.